In the first reading we have the story of a conflict. And in the Gospel we have the story of a conflict. And in between, we have this Psalm 144, which celebrates the way God can teach us how to do battle. Because we have to do battle. There's a war going on. Forces of darkness are trying to subvert and enslave the whole world, to pit us one against the other so that we'll destroy each other. So you read that famous story of David. What a beautiful story it is, too. Then the psalm, I'll come back to the psalm, celebrates God's help in struggle. The one thing I want to point out in the Gospel, this is that there are what they call conflict stories. This is one. There are five in a row in Mark at this point, and this is the last one. And at the end, the Pharisees went out and immediately took counsel with the Herodians against him to put him to death. Now, that's the battle. The amazing thing is the Pharisees and the Herodians, they're bitter enemies. The one's very secular, the other's very law-observant and religious and so forth. Huh? And they hate each other. But they hate Jesus more. So Mark, by throwing that in there, we're only in chapter 3, is saying, you see the sign of darkness that hangs over Jesus. Already enemies are getting together to plot his death. Now, the psalm, Baruch Adonai, blessed be the Lord, my rock. You know how many psalms talk about having a rock, huh? They don't mean a rock like this, I mean a rock like this. Stand on top of that rock, you're safe. You know, nobody can knock that rock over. It's as big as this room. My rock. You see? Who trains my hands for battle and my fingers for war. Provided we want to get into fight and win. If we're going to have a very pious life, try to stay out of trouble, we won't. There's a war going on. And the war is within us and around us. And so you see, this text, yeah, it's celebrating in this particular case, reflecting after the story about David defeating Goliath. But the church is praying this, you know. A billion people in this world, if they're all at Mass, are praying this. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for battle and my fingers for war. Today, you're going to be in a battle. I don't know what kind. Is it going to be very subtle? Something to get your mind off, you know? Is it going to be very overt? Is it going to be in regard to greed or anger or lust or what? But we're in a war. Our Lady, in these locutions she's giving, you know, talks about Satan has a plan. And he's working to get, you know, as many of the world's leaders in his pocket as possible. Why? So that we'll destroy each other, and he'll watch. You see, God, that's your image. Look, that's what I can do to them. It's not us he hates. He hates us. He hates God, but he can't get at God, so he gets it up. And as we fall away from God and get frightened and angry, we look for help. And the occult is a booming business today. Booming. If you can't get at your enemy, you get a demon to get at him. And this is going on all the time. So what is the... How does he train our hands for battle and our fingers for war? First, the Holy Spirit. The first thing the Holy Spirit does is say, you fight for your prayer time. You're not on this earth for yourself alone. Come to know the Lord. Let him have his way with you. You have a world to save. Don't you know that? And the sign that you're willing to get in this fight out of the love for the Lord and his people is that you pray. You really fight for a prayer time because the culture will fight against you. Fight. Then temptation. You know, the old-fashioned ones. But then the resentments, the hoarding, you know, people are saying hard times are coming. I'm going to get enough food for myself. Is that what Jesus would do? Is that what he would do? Our Lady, in some very authentic locutions, is saying, you've got to get ready, absolutely. But getting ready means being bonded to one another. That's what it means. Not only can you take care of one another, but you can take care of this poor world. How many people don't think about God or death or anything for weeks? And it's still there until something happens. And you can see this. There's this. It's like, what can I say? It's like a cloud of light that is rising. Just people are, those who are open to it are changing. It's a cloud of light. People are praying there. You know, everybody, Catholics, Protestants, Jews, Muslims, everybody. The ones who are sensitive and open. You bump into it all the time, walk around with a collar, all kinds of people come talk to you. On the other hand, there's this cloud of darkness to pit one against the other and to have this ambition to dominate and rule the world. It's been the ambition of every nut who had an army. And now with all the technology, it's possible. Rule the world. Get rid of anybody who's in the way. Every utopia, we've had three in the last, well, not even a century yet, right? We had communism, we had Nazism, we had fascism. All going to make a new world, and that justifies killing people. Putting them in jail, torturing them, so that we can have a brave new world. What kind of a brave new world is that? Right now, how many people are in concentration camps in China? Because they're not going along with the brave new human founded, fostered world. Pray for them today. You see? Pray for them. Don't be frightened. You know, if Our Lady were right here now, what would she be saying? You know, don't forget God the Father. He is the only infinite one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he loves you. He's called, he enabled you to get here this morning, to hear this word, and to receive the body and blood of Christ. Who did that? Not your car, God. And so, Oh God, I will sing a new song to you. That new song is the incarnation, right? With a 10-string lyre, I will chant your praise.